Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Mem Dalid, Omid Aleph, you will notice a two dots that appears where we also have the closing of a brackets that started on the previous Omid. So it's from this point that we will be beginning the Gemara. About 10 lines from the top, the quote from what we had before, Kol Shiesh Lo Matirin, Bein La'odom, Bein La'mizbeach, anything that has a matir, we've cited as examples in the case of a meal offering, so the handful of the meal offering that's offered on the mizbeach is matir the shirayim, or the dam that's sprinkled on the mizbeach is matir the bosar, allows the bosar to be eaten. Or in the case of an ola, it allows the limbs to be brought onto the mizbeach to be burnt. So those are examples of things that have a matirin, and whether it's for ola means for personal consumption or for putting on the mizbeach. Those kind of things chayovin olav mishum pigul. And of course, we contrast with that things that don't have matirin. For example, the dam of a korban, that's the matir of the korban, but it itself doesn't have a matir. The handful that's taken from a meal offering is the matir of the shirayim, of that which remains, but it itself does not have a matir. So, those type of things are not going to be included in the violation of pigul. The Gemara itself opens up with a quote from a long Tanaic source. The truth is, even though it's a long source, the beginning of the source is not included here, but Rashi quotes it. Before we even get into that, we just might want to note that the scriptural source, the Pasuk source for Pigul, is in the context of a Korban Shlomim. We've included the Pasuk on the side, the inside margin of the Gemara Vayikra, Perek Zayin Pasuk Yudches. The Pasuk says, V'im he'achol ye'ochel mibisar zevach shlomov, Yoim Hashlishi, Lo Yerotse, Hamakri Voisoi, Lo Yehoshev, Lo Pigul Ye, Vanefesh Oichelis Mimenu Avono Tisa. So this is the Pasuk that serves as the basis for the prohibition of Pigul, and as you can see, it mentions Shlomim in it. The beginning of the Brisa is quoted in Rashi. We have a little frame around the section that's appropriate, and you can see that in the Rashi, a few lines down from here, and we might as well read it, Yocho lo yehe chayov elo al hashlomim bilvad. Could it be that the Isser Pigul, the prohibition of Pigul, is limited to Shlomim alone? Pigul, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, has to do with a korban that's processed with an incorrect mindset, primarily the mindset of wrong time. In other words, he shechts the korban, he slaughters it with the intention of eating the meat after the time allotted for it by the Torah lapses. If he does that, he shechts it or sprinkles the blood with that type of intention, then if he does actually eat the meat having had that wrong mindset, the meat carries with it a kores penalty. That's in the case of chutz lizmano. There's another situation of chutz lemkomo, incorrect location, which also ruins the korban, but does not carry with it a kores penalty. It's just a negative commandment. The beginning then of the Brisa reads, Yochol lo yehei chayav elo al shlomim bilvad. Maybe the penalty of or the phenomenon of pigul exists in the case of the shlomim korban alone. Talmud Lomar, Le'inyan Tuma, the Torah says in the context of Tuma, which is a different offense, but it says there, V'inozru Mikodshei, and the Rashi points out that the halacha of Pigul is learned through a word comparison to this topic. There, the Gemara says, Rashi quotes it, U'lekamen yolef noisar chilul chilul mituma. Nosar is learned from Tuma, and upigul ba'avon avon minosar. So, from this pasuk of Vinozu Mikotche, one sees that it's not limited to the Shlomim alone. Let's continue now in the Gemara itself. Tonu Rabbanan, Oy Eino Mevi Elo Kayotze B'Shlomim. Fine, you just told me that from the pasuk of Vinozu Mikotche, which we saw in the Rashi, that I'm not limited to the Shlomim alone. But maybe all I'm going to include are those sacrifices that are like Shlomim. In other words, I'm not going to include a Korban Ola or a Korban Chatas, which is very unlike a Shlomim. And if I say that we'll include in the prohibition of Pigul only things that are like Shlomim, what would be the characteristics? And before we go on with that, let's just point out that the method of including things like Shlomim would be through a method of approaching Pesukim called Klal, Prat, Uklal. This is a point that Rashi features in the Dibur HaMaskil O Eino. You can find that Rashi by noticing the little star that we have written in. Marbe, Rashi says, Marbe, O Eino Marbe, Elo Kayotze B'Shlomim. Or maybe I will be somewhat limited in my inclusion, include things only like the Korban Shlomim. Sharei, Klal, Uprat, Uklal, Omur Kan. Kedemeforesh Lekamon. The approach to darshaning the Pasuk will be that method. Called Klal Prat Uklal Venemo, and then say Maha Prat Mefurosh Necholim Lishnei Yomim, the Prat being the Korban Shlomim. The specific example that the Torah provides is a Shlomim, that's the Prat, and through the Klal Prat Uklal I'll include something else that has the characteristics of a Shlomim, and that's what the Brisa goes on to say at the point we're holding in the Gemara itself. So let's read that again. O Eino Mevi Elo Kayotze B'Shlomim. Ma Shlomim Miuchodim. Just like Shlomim are special in that Necholim L'Shneyomim V'Laylo Echod. The time period one has to eat a Korban Shlomim is a 2-day and intervening night time. Af Kol Nechal L'Shneyomim V'Laylo Echod. So too, everything else that has that characteristic. Later, the Gemara is going to say, well, what is that? What is it that's just like the Shlomim? The Gemara will give an example. However, we go on, because we're going to include a lot more than just the Shlomim or that which is just like it. And that's what the Brisa goes on to develop. Ne'echal liyoyim v'layla minayin. From where do I know to include those kind of korbanos that have a more limited time period for eating, a day and the following night alone? How do I know to include them as well in the prohibition of pigul? Talmud Lomar, mi besar. This is found in the pasuk that we read before, Vayikra Zayin Pasuk Yudches, and you can refer to the inside margin of your Gemara to see where this word is coming from. Kol sheshiorov necholim. So from the fact that it says mi besar, I learn all kinds of korbanos whom after the necessary items are placed on the mizbeach, the balance is eaten. What about ola she'ein shiorea necholin minayin? Where do I know that an ola korban that has none of it is eaten? How do I know that pigul is shayach to that as well? That it applies to ola as well? Talmud Lomar, Zevach, also in that posuk. Minayin l'rabois ha'oifois v'amnochois. From where do I know to include in pigul bird offerings and meal offerings? Ad sheneimar be'lug shemen shomitzara. and I'm going to go so far as to include even the lug. Lug is a liquid quantity of shemen, the oil that comes as part of the metzorah process, the metzorah purification process. And that would be, for example, the lug shemen shel metzorah is brought along with a korban oshem that the metzorah is obligated to bring. So when the metzorah brings his korban oshem, let us say he would shech the korban oshem with the intention of eating the lug shemen shel metzorah, the lug shemen beyond the right time. So from where do I know that the lug shemen would also be included in the prohibition of pigul? Tamud loimar asher heim makdishim li. Now this pasuk is Vayikra Chof Beis, pasuk Beis. So from that pasuk, which is a pasuk in the context of Tumah, it's not the same pasuk as we had before. We mentioned before we had a Shlomim Pigul pasuk. Here we have a Tumah related pasuk. But we mentioned earlier, we saw in the Rashi, that the Parsha of Pigul is through word association compared to the Parsha of Tumah. So, from this pasuk, Asher Heim Makdishim Li, I'm going to include even a lug shemen shel metzorah, which is something that is sanctified. The osi noisar chilul chilul mituma, the osi pigul avon avon minosar. And once I have established that asher heimak dishim li, which is a posuk in the case of tuma, is inclusive of all kinds of different things that are sanctified, I then can establish that nosar also will apply to those things through a word comparison, namely chilul chilul to the parsha of tumah, which is this fairly inclusive area. The osi pigul avoin avoin minosar, and the pigul, which is really our topic, will be derived through a word comparison of avon to nosar, which was just linked to tumah. Ome achar shesoifa l'rabbis kol davar, if we're going to really be basing ourselves on this pasuk of Asher Heim Makdishim Li, which is very inclusive, Lomo Nemar Shlomim Me'ata. So why did I ever have to start off with Shlomim, which is a very specific example? It's one kind of korban. Why do I need that at all? Don't I have this pasuk Asher Heim Makdishim Li, which is now very inclusive? It'll include even the Lug Shemen Shel Metzorah. The Gemara answers, Lo Maloch, the Brisa answers, Lo Maloch, Ma Shlomim Yuchodim Sheesh Lehem Matirin, Bein Laodom, Bein Lemizbeach. Shlomim has a feature in that it has something that is Matir it, that allows it. In other words, we talk about the Shlomim, we can talk about the meat of the Shlomim. So the Shlomim has a matir, the meat has a matir. And what's the matir? The dam, the zrikas adam, is matir, the eating of the meat. So, and shlomim serves as the archetype of pigul. Af kol sheyesh lo matirin bein l'odom bein lamizbeach chayovin aleihem mishum pigul. So too, anything else that has that phenomenon, that is part of it, becomes mutter, becomes allowed to either the person or to the mizbeach, by virtue of having some element that serves to make it allowed. That's what we call something that has a matir, something that makes it allowed. The Shitin Mugubetzes in Os Hay is going to provide the girsa that we're going to be working with. And as far as this is concerned, we will not be reading the section that you see in brackets in the printed text itself. And the length of this is indicated by the length indicator. You can see to the immediate right-hand side of your Gemara text a dash dotted vertical line. This is a bracket length indicator. So the line at which the vertical dashed dotted line ends, you can see on that line the brackets ends as well. So we continue now reading what's printed in the Os Hay of the Shita Mekubetzes. You can see this in the lower corner of your page. After the Gemara just said that we're going to matir everything else that has a matir. We're going to include, I should say, not matir, we're going to include in pigul anything else that has a matir, whether it be a matir for a person eating, or for the mizbeach, for something that's matir it, that allows it to be placed on the altar. Mar be'ani, chatos ha'oif, I can include a bird sin offering, shiesh lo matirin la'adam, the bird sin offering is eaten by people, beaten by the kohanim, so the blood of the bird offering is makes it, the meat, allowed. Mar ba'ani porim hanisrafim usiram hanisrafim, I'm going to include in the realm of pigul even the cow and goat offerings that are completely burnt up. Shiesh lahem matirin lamizbeach, those offerings, even though they're not eaten, nevertheless their innards are placed on the hay, on the azora mizbeach, the outside mizbeach, to be burnt. So what is it that allows their innards to be placed on the mizbeach? It just so happens it's that their zrikas hadam causes that to be allowed. So they have a matir as well. Umotzi, now we pick up the Gemara after the brackets. Umoitzi ani es hakoimetz, and now the Brisa will repeat the same list that we saw quite a bit earlier about things that do not have pigul. And this list we saw in the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Beis Amid Beis. Umoitzi ani es hakoimetz ves halavoyna v'hakteres u'minchas kohanim u'minchas kohen Moshiach u'minchas nesachim v'hadam. All of these are examples of things that are placed completely on the Mizbeach, we could say, in one shot. In other words, there isn't a separate element that's matir them for the Mizbeach. Just pulling out of this list one example, the handful taken from a meal offering, the klimitz, you take a handful of grain offering in your hand, and the Kohen does that, of course, and he takes it and places it on the Mizbeach. So the Kometz, it might be matir something else, but it itself doesn't have a matir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ma shlomim miuchodim shiyeshnoi al Mizbeach hachitzon, v'chayovin olov. Rabbi Shimon focuses on the shlomim from another angle, and he says the reason the Torah cites shlomim is to inform us that just like the shlomim is processed on the outside, the Mizbeach in the temple courtyard, in the Beis HaMikdash courtyard, the Azora, as opposed to the golden Mizbeach HaKtoras that sits in the Heichal. So just like the Shlomim is a korban who is processed on the outside Mizbeach, v'chayovin olov, and over and for it, on it, the Easter of Pigul applies. Af kol shiyeshnon al mizbeach achitzon chayovin olav mishum pigul. So to anything else that's processed on the outside mizbeach carries with it the potential of a pigul violation. Yatsu parah minisrafim nesirim minisrafim. This serves to exclude, unlike the shita we saw above, this excludes the cow and goat offering that are completely burnt up. Those offerings, the parim and sirim nesrafim, they are processed. Their dam, their zrikas hadam takes place in the heichal, and as a result of that, they don't conform to the model provided by the shlomim. Hoyol she'ein al mizbeach achitzon kishlomim, since they're not treated or they're not processed on the outside mizbeach like a shlomim, ein chayovin olav mishum pigul. Therefore, the pigul prohibition does not apply to them. Omar Mar, we have a quote from that which we saw quite a bit higher up on the page, and in order to find where this is coming from, we provide a little arrow, and you can see this arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. And if you skim up the page, you'll see that at the beginning of the source, there's a corresponding arrow. So it says here, Omar Mar, Kayotze Bishlomim. This was a point of the Brisa that suggested maybe, Pigul is not limited to the Shlomim exactly or specifically, maybe, the Brisa suggested, it comes to include other things that are like Shlomim. Kayotze Bishlomim, my Nihu. What is it that is like a shlomim? Answer,
Bechor. Dinechal. Vishne Yomim V'layla Echad. It has the same eating time period, time allowance. 2 days and the intervening night. That's the Bechor, the firstborn animal offering. B'mai Osi. How is the Bechor derived? I b'mai motzinu. If it's derived through a logical comparison. Ma motzinu is an abbreviated expression, but it means ma motzinu, just like we find by the shlamim, we find the same things by the Bechor. Well, that's not really true. Iko lemifrach. You can undo this logical comparison by pointing out that ma lishlamim shehein teunin smicho nesochim tenufas chozo v'shok. The shlamim sacrifice has additional features and requirements that the Bechor does not have, and they include smicha, the placing of the hands on the korban's head, on the sacrifice's head before it's slaughtered, the nesachim, an accompanying wine offering, which the Bechor does not have, and tenufas chozo v'shok is the waving of the chozo v'shok sections of the animal. Those pieces of meat, the chozo and the shok, are waved by the owner and the kohen. It's another ceremony, if you will, that's associated with the shlamim that a Bechor does not have. So it could very well be that because the shlamim has these added features, maybe only the shlamim has the pigul potential and not a Bechor. So it's not likely that we're going to use the ma motzinu method of inclusion for the purpose of including the Bechor. Ela me'im he'ochel ye'ochel. Rather, this is darshaned from the posuk that we saw before. We had written it on the side. Vayikro perek zayin posuk yudches, and this is in effect this is just a quote from the posuk, but one is supposed to understand that this is a klal prat uklal type limud. This is also this point is brought out is illustrated by Rashi. Without the Rashi, I would have had a very difficult time figuring out what the Gemara is saying. However, from the upcoming question, one could work backwards and see what this is. But we have Rashi to tell us in a mefurisha way that we're talking here about a klal pratu klal. The Gemara goes on to ask, Hani trei kloli desmichi adodinenu. These words don't resemble a klal, pratu klal. They are two klals that are put together, put next to each other. In general terms, the klal, pratu klal style of learning is where you have a general expression and then a specific expression followed once again by a general expression. When you have that, that's called klal, pratu klal. That enables you to include more other items. However, the Gemara is quick to point out that the structure of this pasuk, it mentions two klolim, and then later on it mentions the prat. And if you look back at the original pasuk, you could see it says, and we've written that in on the upper part of the inside margin, v'im he'achol ye'ochel. That's a klal and a klal, because he'achol just means eating. Eating what? Well, a general expression. And again, ye'ochel. And then it says, mipsar zevach shlomov, shlomov being a prat. So how can we possibly darshan this and in the klal prat uklal fashion when it doesn't resemble that? Omar Rava answers. He says, Kide Amri b'ma Rava, as it has been said in Ma Rava in Eretz Yisrael, Kol mokoim she'ata moitze shnei klolos hasmuchim ze lo ze, whenever you find two general expressions next to each other, hatel prat b'nehem v'dunam b'chlalu prat. Hatel is place, the specific between the two generals, the dunam, and then judge them or learn them as a klal uprat, as the klal prat uklal fashion dictates. This idea, of course, all of these rules are not something that one does on his own. These are part of an oral tradition that was passed down from generation to generation, and thereby these things can be done. And are done through oral instruction. Continuing in the Gemara, we now have a quote from that which was cited earlier. In order to find where this quote is coming from, we've provided a little asterisk, little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you skim up, you'll find a corresponding asterisk. So it's coming from the big source we had above. Ad Shani Marbe Lug Shemen Shomatzora. We suggested that the prohibition of Pigol will extend to include the Lug Shemen, the Lug of oil that's brought by the Mitzora. The Gemara now will deal with issue of authorship. Who is the author of this idea? And we also have some geometric forms that we want to explain. So in the outside margin, we have our Mivneh heading. The Mivneh is a structural note with one of our features in the Gemara marking system, where we try to provide structural notes to explain the role of the symbols that one sees in the text itself. So we see here a house form. Shlovim, stages, the biur in clarifying, mi hatano shel habraisa v'leil, who is the author of the braisa above? So now we turn to the Gemara. Ha'mani, who is the author of the source above? And in order to determine the authorship, we're going to link on to the fact that the lug shemen shel metzora is included in a potential pigol possibility. Ha'mani, who is the author of this? Rabbi Meir, he. Our prime candidate is Rabbi Meir, Desanya. We have a brisa that features Rabbi Meir in it that says, Lug Shemen Shomitzorah Chayovin Olav Mishum Pigol. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Lug Shemen Shomitzorah can become prohibited through the Pigol violation. And the example that we cited above would be that if the Osha Mitzora, which was the animal offering brought prior to the Lug Shemen Shel Metzora, if while the animal, the Osha Mitzora, was being shechted or its blood was being sprinkled, the Kohen had in mind that the Kohen expressed his interest in eating the oil of the Lug Shemen Shel Metzora 2 days from now, that would create an Isser Pigol on the Shemen. So far, so good. So we think that the author of the big source is Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is the opinion associated with Lug Shemen Shel Metzora falling under the Pigol potential. Emo Seifa. At this point, we continue and cite the latter part of the big source. In order to find where this is coming from, we've provided a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you skim up, you'll see toward the end of the narrow lines of the Gemara where this quote is coming from. So, Amos Seifa, say the latter part of the above long source. It said there, Umotzi Ani, and we exclude, and there was a rather long list of things excluded, this list ended up saying, we're going to exclude Minchas Nesochim V'Hadam, those things as well. The Minchas Nesochim is a wine offering and the dam, the blood, that are not Chayav Mishum Pigol. Well, that idea is an idea that's not a Rebbe Meir idea, but rather Ason L'Rabbonin. That comes out L'Rabbonin, according to the Rabbonin, who actually argue with Rebbe Meir. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source that will feature first Rebbe Meir, who mentions that the Minchas Nesochim, this is a wine offering that accompanies animal sacrifices. A number of different animal sacrifices there's an expectation that one, an obligation to bring a wine offering along with it. Rebbe Meir will reflect an opinion that the Pigol problem can apply to the wine offerings as well. The Chachamim will disagree with that. So let's see this inside. Desanya, Niske Behemo, Chayovim Olehen, Mishum Pigol, the wine offerings that come along with animal sacrifices can become Pigol, Mipnei Shedam Hazevach Matiron Likrov, Divrei Rebbe Meir, because the blood of the animal offering that's sprinkled on the Mizbeach is the matir for these. And for these, for the wine offerings, and this conforms to the general rule that anything that has a matir can potentially fall under the pigal label. Omru lo, the Rabbanan responded to Rabbi Meir and said, V'halo odom mevi es zvochov hayom unisochin mikan ad asor yomim. The Chumash say that the wine offering that is brought as a result of one bringing an animal offering, the wine offering itself can be brought many days from now. In other words, let us say on day one, the person brings his animal offering, and the wine offering can be brought on day 10. So in such a case, the wine offering in effect is something that stands alone. It's poured out on the top of the Mizbeach on its own. The dam, the sprinkling of the dam, being that it was so many days before, is totally disassociated from this. So we can't say that the blood of the animal offering offered many days before is the matir for this wine offering being brought on the Mizbeach. Indicating then, as we just said, that according to the Chumash, the wine offering is viewed as something she'ein lo matirin. So it doesn't fall under the wine offering will never fall under the pigol heading. Omar Lahen, Rabbi Meir responds, it says, Afani lo amarti elo bibuyin imazevach. I too, when I said that wine offerings, the minchas nesachim, can become pigol, I'm only referring to those occasions when one brings the nesachim together with the animal offering. And it's only then that it can become pigol, says Rabbi Meir, because the dam that's sprinkled is the matir of the wine. The Chachamim, though, disagree, because since in potential it can be brought separately, it's always viewed as a separate entity, and therefore falling under the category of those things that ain lohen matirin. Anyway, we have a problem right now, and the problem is that the author of the big source, when you focus on the Reisha, the Lug Shemin, it would appear that it's authored by Rabbi Meir. When you focus on the latter part of it, where Minchas Nesachim is excluded, it would seem that it's authored not by Rabbi Meir, but by the Rabbonan. So how do we deal with who the author is? At this point in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form, and this is featured on the outside margin. We see a crown form. This is called Tshuvos Amoroyim L'Shei L'Homani, answers that Amoroyim will give as to who the Tana, who the author of the above source is. So we see Rav Yosef's name appears here as one suggesting authorship, and on Amud Beis we will see close to the top of the page, around seven lines from the top, you'll see Rabbi Yirmiyah offering his approach to who the author is. Omar Rav Yosef, ha money, Rebbe he. Now you see again a house form, because we indicated that the house forms are suggestions of who the author may be. So Rav Yosef suggests Rebbe is the author of the above source. The Omar, lug shemen shel mitzora. Rebbe has his opinion with regard to lug shemen shel mitzora that it does fall under the potential for becoming pigul, but not for the obvious reason. When we say obvious reason, I mean not for the standard reason, namely that the blood of the Osha Mitzorah would be its matir. We'll go over this point in a second, but we want to say as follows. According to Rebbe, Nesachim do not have pigul, and this is in accordance with the Rabbanan. In other words, regarding Nesachim, Rebbe holds like the Rabbanan, and regarding the Lug Shemen Shel Mitzorah, he holds that it has a matir. And what is its matir? The oil sprinklings that are done when the mitzora comes to the Beis HaMikdash to achieve his tara, in addition to the Oshem mitzora, to the Oshem korban he brings, a lug, which is a liquid quantity of oil, is brought, and it's sprinkled in the heichal. There's a sprinkling of the oil that takes place. So it's those sprinklings that are matir, the remainder, the shirayim, to be consumed, to be eaten. And that's what it says right now. It's Rebbe he, the Omer, Lug Shemen Shel Mitzorah, Matonoisov, its sprinklings, Sharulei, are matir, allow the shirayim. umi de matanoisov sharule, matanoisov mefagli le. And by the fact that the sprinklings of the oil are its matir, it's during the sprinklings that one could have the pigal mind thought, the thought of eating the balance, the shirayim chutz lizmano. Disanya, we have a Tanaic source, and Rebbe will appear in the seifa of this source. We're bringing this in to accentuate Rebbe's opinion. So the Reisha though says, luv shemen shemetzora, Moalin boy ad she yizro kadam. Me'ila is a new prohibition. We haven't discussed it today. This is the prohibition of benefiting from things that are sanctified. Things carry with it a penalty of me'ila until a certain point, until they receive their heter. Until something becomes mutter, and we often say mutter lekohanim, when kivan shehutter lekohanim, ein bo mishum me'ila. So the source is telling us that there's a me'ila penalty, the prohibition of benefiting from it, from the lug shem and shemetzora. The prohibition of me'ila exists ad shiyizro kadam, until the osham blood is sprinkled, the osham etzora blood is sprinkled. Nizra kadam, once the osham blood is sprinkled, loy nehenin, one is still prohibited from benefiting from it on a rabbinic level until the oil is applied to the thumbs of the mitzora, which is one of the stages of his achieving tara, an oil application to his thumbs. Veloy moyalin. But once we say, once the Zrikas Adam took place, even though there's a restriction from benefiting from it, as we mentioned, until the further matonos are done, nevertheless, velo mo'alin, we should be a little more accurate when we talk about, we mentioned lo nanin, that one is not allowed to benefit from it until the matonos are done. We have to speak also about the oil sprinklings that take place in the Hechal. That's also, those are the matonos. And until the various oil sprinklings and applications take place, only then will one be allowed to benefit from the remainder oil. However, velo mo'alin, that means that midoraisa, there is no longer any me'ila, because the dam osham, the sprinkling of the dam, took off the iser. The sprinkling of the dam osham was matir it lakohanim. And we say that anything that has a heter lekohanim, there no longer applies the prohibition of benefiting from it. That's, of course, on a Torah level. But on a rabbinic level, one has to wait a little longer. He has to wait until the matnos shemen are done. Rebbe Oimer, Mo'alin, Rebbe disagrees with Rabbonin and says that the Isser Mi'ila continues after the Dama Oshem. In other words, according to Rebbe, the Dama Oshem is not the matir of the Lug Shemen, but rather ad Shiyitein Matanoisov, until the Matanos are done, the oil sprinklings take place. Rashi has a Girsa that says ad Shiyitein Shiva Hazaois Shel Gavoa, which is a somewhat more clear reference to the oil sprinklings that take place in the Heichal. Vishavin, there is agreement. She'osur ba'achila ad shi'itein matan sheva u'matan bahonos. That there's a prohibition of actually eating the remainder oil. Even the Rabbonan will concede to Rebbe that one must wait until the oil applications and sprinklings take place. So we see from here that the big source above would be authored by Rebbe. Rebbe holding that the ratio said that the Lug Shemen Shemetzora has a pigal potential. That's what we just saw. And with regard to the exclusion of the wine offerings, Rebbe holds like the Rabbonon that the Nesachim are not subject to pigal. Amrua Kameh de Rebbe Yirmiya. Rav Yosef's approach, assigning authorship of the big source to Rebbe, this was said over in the presence of Rebbe Yirmiya. Omar, Rebbe Yirmiya responded, Gavra Rabba to Rav Yosef Lemo Kiho Milsa. Would a great man like Rav Yosef say thusly? Hare Lug Haba Bifnei Atzmoi Delechule Almo Matanoisov Shoru Lei Veloi Mifaglin Lei. What is this case of Lug Haba Bifnei Atzmo? This is a case of a Mitzora that brought his animal offering, the Osham, on a particular day, and after a number of days, after 10 days, he brings his Lug, he brings the Lug Shemen. The Lug Shemen has the sprinklings that take place from it, the oil sprinklings we've discussed already. Those are what's meant by the expression Matanoisov Shole. They allow the Shirayim to be consumed, to be eaten. They're Matir Bachila. And yet there's no Pigol Shayach to it. The Sanya, and when it's mentioned here that Kuli Alma agree with this, it would seem to be everyone agrees, even Rebbe would agree with this, that there's no Pigol Shayach to the Lug Shemen Shomitzora that comes on its own, even though it has a Matir. Desanya, Lug Shemen Shomitzora Chayovin Olav Mishum Pigol Mitnei Shedam Matiro Lebahonos. The Reisha suggests that the Lug Shemen Shomitzora has a potential for Pigol because the blood of the Osham Mitzorah is the matir of the further application of the oil to the thumbs of the Mitzorah. So it has a matir, and as such, things that have a matir can potentially become pigul. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Omru lo le Rabbi Meir. The Rabbonin said to Rabbi Meir, in a similar fashion as we saw the Rabbanan responding to Rabbi Meir earlier, in the case of the wine offerings, they say to Rabbi Meir here too, regarding the oil of the Mitzorah, a person could, in theory, bring his Korban Osham today, and Mitzorah brings his Korban Osham today, and brings the Lug Shemen, Velug Mikan V'Adasorah, and could bring the Lug Shemen 10 days from now. And there you can't say that the dam of the Osham is matirit. So if you can't say that, so then why should there be pigul? Omar Lahem, Rabbi Meir says, you know, you're right. Afani lo amarti elo bebo im Osham. I said that there's pigul for the Lug Shemen Shomitzar only in the case that it's brought together with the Osham. But if it's brought separately, even though the oil sprinklings are matir the shirayim, but nevertheless, even I agree that there's no pigul shayach to it. So to assign the source on Omid Aleph to Rebbe and explain that Rebbe holds that the Lug Shemen has as its matir its own sprinklings, that would not be sufficient to include it in the realm of Pigel. Elo Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, offers his opinion as to who the author of the big source in Amud Aleph was, the Olam, Rabbi Meir, he. The big source can be understood as authored by Rabbi Meir. Now, this, we have to review for a moment what was the problem with that in the first place, that we had to leave Rabbi Meir as the suggestion. The problem was in the Seifa. In the Seifa, there was a suggestion, or there was a mention, of Nesachim not being included in Pigol, as being potter from the Seifa was pottering Nesachim from Pigol, when Rabbi Meir himself holds that the Nesachim are subject to Pigol. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says that the long source is Rabbi Meir, the Sami Mikan Nesachim, and erase from the Seifa the Nesachim, remove from the Seifa that pottered Nesachim from Pigol, remove that. Abaye Omar Liolam Lo Tismi. Abaye says, don't take out the Nesachim exemption from the Seifa. The Tana teaches in the Reisha Lug Haba Im Ha'osham. That's a reference to the Shemen as being subject to pigul. He teaches that in the Reisha. V'u'adin l'nesachim haboim im hazevach. Let's read that again. V'tana lug habo im ha'osham. The Tana in the Reisha teaches that the lug shemen of the Mitzora is subject to pigul. That's the case of the lug shemen brought together with the osham. And we saw Rabbi Meir said that in the Brisa just quoted above here, that when it's brought, when the lug shemen is brought together with the osham Mitzora, the dam of the osham is the matir of the lug shemen, and hence it the shemen falls under the pigul heading. V'hu adin, and likewise l'nesachim aboyim min hazevach, they do have pigul, the nesachim, the wine offering that comes together with the animal offering. And there we would say that the dam of the animal offering is the matir of the wine. And hence, since it's something that has a matir, it also falls under the possibility of becoming pigul. The hodar tana nesachim aboyim b'fnei asman. And then in the seifa, which spoke about the exemptions from pigul, it taught nesachim, and that's a reference to nesachim that come independent of the animal. V'hu adin l'lug habo b'fnei asmo, and likewise with regard to the lug of shemen of the mitzora that comes independent of the osher mitzora, those things will not have pigul. And hence, as far as Abaye is concerned, the whole source can be authored, like Rabbi Yirmiyah suggested, by Rabbi Meir. Chatos ha'oif doma matir es besorah l'kohanim. Mino hani mili. From where do we know that a chatos ha'oif is eaten? The answer to that specific question will come quite a bit later in the Gemara. We have a little arrow here to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and we have an arrow later on indicating the point in this upcoming Gemara where Chatas Of will be featured. Before we go further, we have some structural points to take care of. We see a dashed frame. This is a very unusual type of marking. Frames usually indicate Tanaic sources. We're about to embark on on Tony Levi, a Tanaic source that Levi teaches. There will be, however, what appears to be numerous Gemara interventions, interruptions, so we're treating it as if it were a Tanaic source, but realizing, of course, that the Gemara at every stage intervenes. So on the outside margin, we have our Mivneh heading, Mizgeres Mekuvkav, a dashed frame, Koileles Hadroshes Shel Toni Levi. It includes the drushus that Levi teaches al haposuk in Bamidbar Yudches Posuk Tes. This posuk, by the way, we'll see on the inside margin of our Mark Gemara. So you can see we've written that in Bamidbar Yudches Posuk Tes. It says Ze Yeh Lecha Mikodesh Hakadoshim Min Oesh Kol Korbanon Lechol Minchasam Ulechol Chatosam Ulechol Hashemam Asher Yashivu Li Kodesh Kadoshim Lechohu Levanecha. And as we read the pasuk, you may have noted through our intonation that we emphasize the word kol. Let's continue in our note on the outside margin. You'll see a triangle is featured because as you look in the Gemara text itself, there are numerous triangles. Triangles being one of our series markings. Here we've explained hadgoshas, hadroshos, we've emphasized the droshos shel kol. In other words, we focus the sections in the Gemara that feature the posuk, the section of the posuk that the word kol is cited. L'rabois dvorim shenecholim, to include those kinds of things that are eaten. There's a double underline that will be appearing as we go along too at each stage. Salka daita chamina, that expression has been double underlined. This is also one of our series markings. Salka daita chamina is an expression indicating what I would have thought, namely what I would have thought without the pasuk. Hoyisi choyshev shedvorim elu enom necholim lulei haposuk. The items that will be included, I would have thought, are not included for the various reasons that are given as we go along. So all told, we are working off of the comment that the Chatas Ha'of is something that is eaten, and it is also something that has a matir. We're going to be investigating other things that are eaten that I might have thought should, that I might have thought should not be eaten. Let's continue now in the source itself. We're starting with the with this question in mind: from where do I know that the Chatas Ha'of is something that is eaten? The Tani Levi, Kol Korbonam. This expression is L'Rabbi's Luv Shemen Shel Metzora, that it too is something that's eaten. Salkavei Techamina, without the Pasuk, I would have thought that the Pasuk says Min Ho'esh. Omar Rachmona, the pasuk that speaks about things that are given to the kohanim for eating are things that come min ho'esh, things that come as a result of having been having parts of them put in the fire. V'hai the lug shemen lav moisor min ho'eshu. It's not something that's left over from the fire. The lug shemen is simply a flask of oil from which there was sprinklings of the oil done, and then the after the sprinklings and different oil applications to the mitzvah are done, the kohen receives it for eating, but there's no contact with the fire. Komash malon, therefore I need the pasuk to say kol korbanam, to so as to dispel the havamina that the expression min ho'esh might have communicated. L'chol min chasam l'rabois min chas ha'oimer u'min chas haknois, to include these two types of grain offerings, the Omer offering and the Sota. This is a korban that the woman who's suspect of being unloyal to her husband, that she brings. Salka Daita Chamina. Without this drush of Kol Min Chasam, I might have thought, the pasuk says in Shmois Chavtes Pasuk Lamin Gimel, V'ochlu oisam asher kupar bohem. Something that has kapora is eaten. Something that provides atonement is eating. Something that doesn't provide atonement, maybe, is not eaten. U'minchas ha'oimer lahatir asya. U'minchas kenois levar ovon ka asya. The omer offering is not brought as a kapora. It's brought to allow the new grains of that grew that year. It's to allow them for public consumption. What we refer to as tamatir the iser chodosh, grains that are planted in the winter of any given year. Once they sprout, they are prohibited to benefit from, or prohibited to eat from them until the omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan, when the omer, which is a barley grain offering, when that is brought on the 16th of Nisan, that's matir, that creates an allowance for the chodesh, for the new grains. It's not coming as a source of atonement, though. Uminchas knos is the korban that the sota brings. Her atonement is not achieved through that. That purpose of the sota offering is levarer ovon koasya. It's to help clarify whether she sinned, whether she experienced intimacy with the paramour or not. So as such, these two offerings, since they don't conform to the dictates of Shmos Choftes, which said eating is of that which serves as atonement, maybe since these do not come for atonement purposes, they're not eaten. Kamash Malon, therefore the expression of L'chol Min Chasam includes them as being eaten. Ulechol chatosam l'rabois chatosoif, and this is the reason we actually brought in this whole discussion. The pasuk that says l'chol chatosam. Once again, let's not forget we're talking about Bamidbar Yudches pasuk Tes, comes to include an allowance to eat the bird sin offering. Now, why would you have thought otherwise? Sal gadai tachamino nevelohi. I would have thought that since it's not slaughtered with a knife, its method of being
slaughter, we'll use that word for lack of better expression, is through the thumbnail of the kohen being inserted into the back of the neck of this burnt offering, and therefore by through the pressure and of his thumbnail being inserted and cutting into the back of the neck of the burnt offering and eventually cutting the simonim, that is what is that's what is responsible for its death. Since it's not the standard method of slaughtering, namely with a knife from the underside of the neck, maybe we'd classify it as nevela. And in fact, if you were to do this outside of the context of a chatas ha'oif, if you were to do this at home with a chicken, it certainly would be a nevela, a forbidden item for consumption. Therefore, the pasuk of ulechol chatasam tells me that when it comes to a chatas ha'oif, it can be eaten. Ulechol ashamam, l'rabois osham nozir v'osham mitzora. The pasuk is coming to include the nozir osham and the mitzor osham as being edible. Sakadai techamino, lahachshir ka'asu. I would have thought that they are coming to create hechshir, namely in the case of the nozir, as a result of bringing his osham, he now is able to start his count. The Osham Nazir, we should point out, is brought by a Nazir who had become Tomei. He brings this Korban Osham, and that enables him to restart his counting of Nazir's Tahara. So it's a Machshir, it's a vehicle of allowance. And the Osham Mitzora is something that allows him to partake of Korbonus. It's Machshir him, it enables him to bring korbanos. So it's an enable. These are enablers as opposed to sources of kapora. So I would have thought, since they are not brought for kapora, maybe they're not to be eaten. Komash malon. Therefore, I have this pasuk ulechol ashamam to include these as well, and these including what did we say? The osham nozir and the osham etzora. The Gemara now asks, as far as the osham etzora is concerned, osham mitzora. Behedya ksiv bei, the pasuk says explicitly concerning the osham mitzora that it is edible, that it's to be consumed. So what do I have to use the expression of l'chol ashamam to include that for? The Gemara explains, so we have to reread this source with a more clear, in a more clear fashion. Elo l'rabois osham nazir ke osham mitzor. Being that the osham mitzor is a given that it's eaten because of its own, it has its own source. But we're saying here that the expression of l'chol ashamam is saying, let us include the osham nazir to be like the osham mitzora. Namely, we're not using l'chol ashamam to include the osham mitzora. It's coming to include the osham nazir alone and comparing it to the osham mitzora. The pasuk says, "Asher yoshivu." This too is in Bamidbar Yudches pasuk Tes. Ze gezel hager. This is the payment that is expected to be made, the reparation, if you will, if an individual stole money from a convert. A convert, in the context of our Gemara, is that type of person who converted to Judaism at an age beyond which he had not produced any children as a Jew. Therefore, you have a person who's a convert, and when he, as a converted Jew, someone came along and stole from him. So the thief is expected to restore the theft. He should restore, if he stole money, pay the convert back. So of course he should do that. What happens though if the convert dies before he's paid back and he leaves no children? And as being that he's a convert, he also is considered halachically as having no relatives. So what is done with the money? So the money is given to the kohanim. And we didn't mention earlier, but this pasuk in Bamidbar Yudches is featuring all different kinds of things that fall under the category of matnas kuna. Rashi mentions this point earlier under Dibur Maskel Kol Korbanam Gabi Seder Matnas Kuna. He says gifts that the Torah allocates to the Kohanim, and one of those is the one of those are the funds that are expected to have been paid back to the Ger, but since he died, those monies are given to the Kohanim, and that's what this expression means, Gezel Hager. The pasuk says Lechahu Shelcho Yeyeh Afilu Kadesh Bo Es Isha. When we speak about the money that is being returned, namely funds that were stolen from the Ger that are now being given to the Kohanim because the Ger has no relatives, those funds are given to the Kohanim in a total fashion. So much so that the Kohen can use it for whatever he likes, even if he wants to use that money to marry with or through them a woman. In other words, offering a woman in exchange for her marriage, offering her Kesef Kiddushin, whereby he presents the money to her and says, Hare at Mekudeshes Li, you know, with these monies. Tanya. We have a Tanaic source, and the topic that the Tanaic source will be featuring is the issue of the Purim Hanisrafim. Those are the cow offerings that are brought in a rather unique fashion. Their blood sprinkling takes place in the Heichal, and the carcasses are burnt completely outside the Beis HaMikdash. Examples of Purim and Nisrafim include Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, the special cow offering brought on the occasion that the Sanhedrin Agol of the High Court errs in an erroneous legal ruling, and the Par Kohen Moshiach, when a Kohen Gadol errs in his legal ruling and acts thereupon, and you have also the Par Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur. Those are examples of Purim HaNisrafim. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Pigel Bedavar Hanase Bechutz, Pigel. If one has an incorrect mind thought while processing that type of korban that it's Nase Bechutz, be careful here. The word Bechutz in this Brisa is a reference to the Azora, because it's the outside relative to the Hecha, which is the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash. In general, of course, the word Bechutz has a totally different meaning, but here it's a reference to the Azora. So if one has an incorrect mindset with regard to incorrect time regarding that kind of korban, bedavar hanase b'chutz, a type of korban who's processed in the Azara, which really accounts for most korbanos, not the Purim and Nisrafim that we mentioned earlier, pigel, that creates pigel. However, if he was mefagel bedavar hanase b'fnim, if he had a machsheves pigel concerning something that's done in the Heichal, an example of that would be those korbanos that we just mentioned before, whose blood is sprinkled on the inner Mizbeach and on the Paroches, then lo Pigel. That type of situation or that type of korban would not enter Pigel. Ketzad. We see diamonds appear, one of our series markings. We have a note on the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh, the topic and structural note. Hoya Oimeid, that's the expression that you'll see featured in the diamonds. Dugmois, examples, Mosai Amrinon Shechal Pigul and Mosai Lo. When do we say that Pigul will take hold and when not? Haklalhu, the rule is, Deboi Machshova Bachutz Al Dover Hanase Bachutz, that one has to express his incorrect thought concerning an item that is, let's say that again, one has to express his incorrect thought Bachutz in the Azora, Al Dover Hanase Bachutz, concerning something that is processed in the Azara. So here we go with examples. Ketzad, Hoya Oimeid Bachutz, the individual is standing in the Azara, the Omar, Hareini Shoche, I'm slaughtering this sacrifice, Lahazois Midomoi Lamochar, to sprinkle the blood tomorrow. Lo Pigel. This does not create Pigel. We have to mention that we're talking about his slaughtering of something that is done, generally speaking, done inside. Shemachshava b'chutz b'dovar hanase b'fnim, because he had a machshava in the azora concerning something whose dam is sprinkled in the heichal. Hoy oimed b'fnim. He's standing in the Heichal. The Omar Hareini Maze Al Menas Lahaktir Emurim Velishpoch Shiraim Lamochar. I am doing my blood sprinklings of this inner korban. We should mention before we go any further, when the Brisa a few lines up said right before the first diamond said Ketzad. This Ketzad is coming to illustrate the Bay's point of Dovar Hanase Bifnim. If one has a Machsheva's Pigel concerning a Dovar Hanase Bifnim, so it does not create Pigel. And we're now seeing different variations of that. The first one was he was dealing with a Dovar Hanase Bifnim, but while he was in the Azora, while he was in the courtyard, he had a Machsheva concerning the sprinklings of the blood. So that does not create Pigel, as was indicated that it's a Machsheva, albeit it's a machshava in the right place, but it's concerning something that's done in the heichal, whose rikas dam is done in the heichal, therefore no pigel. And the second case we had, if someone standing in the heichal saying, announcing that he's doing the sprinklings of the blood, hareini mazal menas lahaktir emurim v'lishpoch shiraim lamochar, I'm sprinkling the blood in order to offer the innards and spill out the balance of the blood, which are two activities that are in fact done in the Azora. We can call that the right place. And he intends to do that Lamochar, which is after the time lapses. Loi Pigel. That too does not create Pigel. Shemachshava b'fnim b'dover hanase b'chutz. That's a machshava expressed while inside concerning an action that's done outside. So far, these first two examples were illustrations of the Dovar Hanase Bifnim. However, Aval Hoya Oimei Bachutz, if he's standing in the Azora, the Omar Hareini Shochei Lishpoch Shiraim Lamochar or Lahaktir Emurim Lamochar, he's slaughtering, in fact, one of the things that are Nase Bifnim. He's slaughtering a Parah Minas Rafim. Now the slaughtering takes place in the Azora, that's Bachutz. And his thought concerns offering the balance of the blood, the Shirayim, or offering the innards, which are activities also done Bachutz. Pigel, that does create Pigel. Shemach Shava Bachutz, B'dover Hanase Bachutz. Because he's having a thought, or he's expressing his thought, his improper thoughts while outside, concerning things that are to be done outside. And as a result of that, so we're conforming to the guidelines of Pigel establishment, and therefore, as Rebbe Lozer says in the name of Yossi, Pigel is shayich to Parah Hanisrafim, even though Parah Hanisrafim are generally understood as korbanos that are done in the heichal. But with regard to the examples of activities we saw here, they too can come under the Pigel heading, because he expressed his thought in the Azora concerning those procedures of the Parah Hanisrafim that are in fact done, bachutz, done in the Azora as well. We might point out that the issue of Parah Hanisrafim was featured in the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Tanakhama said that Parah Hanisrafim are shayach to Pigel. There the Mishnah said that their blood sprinklings are matir the Emurim Likrav. In that Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said that things that are not processed on the outside mizbeach, like shlomim, are not Shaykh and Pigol, which would have excluded the Parim HaNisrafim from Pigol. So here we have a Shita that resembles more closely the Tanakama, which suggests that Parim HaNisrafim are Shaykh to the realm of Pigol. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my craw. What is the pasuk that indicates this? That the Maisa and the Machshava have to be Bachutz, when dealing, of course, with the Parim HaNisrafim. So the pasuk says, the pasuk that's found in the context of the Par Koyin Moshiach, the Par Koyin Moshiach is one of the examples, and we mentioned it before, as Parim HaNisrafim. And what does it say there? It says, Kasher Yuram Mishor Zev HaShlomim. In this pasuk, which is focusing on the Par Koyin Moshiach, it is compared, it is to be done like the Shlomim. Well, what in the world does that mean? What in the world have we learned from the Shlomim to the Par Koyin Moshiach? They're extremely different. The Torah is comparing these two korbanos one to the other. Ma shor zevach hashlomim ad shiu ma'isov u'machshavoisov al mizbeach achitzon. Just like a shlomim is a korban which can fall under the pigol category, when and it's a korban whose all of whose activities are done in the outside. So the nature of the shlomim is that the maisim and the thoughts concern the mizbeach achitzon, concern the outside mizbeach. Af parkoy moshiach, so too the parkoy moshiach, which is an example of the Parim HaNisrafim, it too can become pigul, however, achshu machshavoisov umaisov al hamizbeach achitzon. His machshava and his action must be, as we mentioned before, in the azara. And we mentioned before, what is the specific example? He's shechting the Par Koyin Moshiach or any of the other Parim HaNisrafim, having in mind to offer on the Mizbeach HaChitzon the Shirayim and the Emurim. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Omar Rav, Halocha Karebi Elazar Shomer Mishum Rebbe Yossi. If one forgot where this name is coming from, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And if you skim up the page, you'll notice you'll run into another similar arrow on the same side, on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, which is pointing to where Rabbi Lozer Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi appeared. Rav says, he says the halacha, we've dashed underlined the word halacha because of its significance in the upcoming Gemara. He says the halacha is like Rebbe Lozer. Omar Rava. Rava, upon hearing Rav's comment, he says, Hilchasa l'meshicha. Rashi at the very top says, Hilchasa l'meshicha, Rei kovalonu halacha hatzricha lonu limos ha-mashiach. Kishin bone beis ha-mingdash. V'achshav lo hutzrachnu la. What are you, you're paskening about something, you're ruling on something that's not necessary until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So why do you have to rule Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar Sheomer Mishum Rav Yossi? Now Abaye hears Rava's objection or exclamation and reacts, but we will see shortly that Abaye doesn't fully understand what Rava is saying at this juncture. Amale Abaye, Elo Me'ato, if you're objecting to this, then kol shchitas kochim lo lisni. Let's not learn. Shchitas kochim is a reference to primarily Maseches Zvachim, or one could say expanded to anything that's related to those to issues of sanctity which are Beis Hamikdash related. Let's not learn it. Hilchos Olam Mishichahu. It's all part of future learning. But yet we do learn these things, and we don't relegate it to the realm of the unrelated. Elo, Abaye says Drosh v'Kabel Schar. We learn Shchitas Kochim for the purpose of the sake of learning Torah, and we receive a reward for that, for the Schar Talmud Torah. Hochanami, so too, with regard to the issue of Reb Lozer Omar, Omer Mishum Reb Yossi, about the Poram and Esrofim being Shayach to Pigol, Hochanami, Drosh V'Kabel Schar. Let's learn about this for the purpose of learning Torah and receiving reward for this. So, why does Rava seem to object to the comment of Rav? Hochi koamino loch. Thusly, responds Rava, is what I'm saying. He's saying like this. He's saying, of course, one is to learn these topics. But hilchusa lomali. There's another version of the Gemara which doesn't seem to have too much difference to the on the superficial level. Lishna achrina amale halacha koamina. We'll explain both of these with one explanation. What Rava is objecting to is, what was the need for Rav to express a final ruling on the topic, namely the use of the word halacha? This is the word that we dashed, underlined two lines from the bottom on Mem Dalam Abayz. Of what necessity was it for Rav to take a stance on something that is not relevant and won't be relevant until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt? The use of the term halacha is in order to teach how to do something, and right now we're not in the position to do anything about it. Hence, of course, we are to learn about these things, but what value is there for Rav to have expressed, to have taken a legal stance on the topic, which, as we said, indicates that I'm taking a stance on something that I'm going to practice, when in fact we're not in the position to practice these things, Beis HaMikdash related things, until the Beis HaMikdash is actually rebuilt. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.